Skinner still here?
Indeed.
All right. Hey, welcome back to the Soft Shoulder Podcast for Fleetwood Mac Part 2.
Return of the Mac.
Once again.
Part 2, which is we're going to focus only on Rumors and Tusk.
And we're going to spend 5 hours doing it.
For sure. I'm Alex.
I've been down one time.
Curry.
I'm Stacy. Never break the chain, Sproul.
And we're joined with our friend, Skinner.
Skinner Hand News.
Oh!
My least favorite part of that whole album.
Yeah, it comes in strong, right?
Okay. So at this point, we have the, you know, like the classic Fleetwood Mac lineup after the self-titled Fleetwood Mac album, which is Stevie Nicks, Lindsey Buckingham, Christine McVie, John McVie, and Mick Fleetwood.
Yay!
Yeah, and they are all in all kinds of trouble.
Little rascals.
Yeah, they're being all kind of rascally. So we're dealing with two couples.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Mick Fleetwood.
Uh-huh.
So,
oh, poor Mick.
What? No, well, Mickhead.
Yeah.
He gets in there. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Mick gets his eventually. At this point, they were all calling him Daddy.
Ew.
Which is also weird.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah. So John and Christine were married in 68. Christine McVie's original name was actually Christine Perfect.
Oh, wow. Why'd she change it?
I don't know.
She's perfect in my eyes.
Exactly.
Me too.
And they divorced in 76.
Oh.
Right before this album.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
And then Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks dated from the late 60s until 76.
Huh. Yeah.
Also, right when this happened. Mick Fleetwood was married to Jenny Boyd from 1970 until 1974.
Okay.
And then married her again in 1977, where he found out that his best friend was having an affair with her.
Cool.
So they were married until 78.
Okay.
So during all of this, Fleetwood Mac decided to record their 11th studio album, Rumors.
Oh, yeah.
Why not? Just right in the middle of all that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's a pretty famous story. Just, you know, everybody's full of just insane amounts of heartbreak, but working through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was recorded in California in the Bay Area, San Francisco, in a place called Sausalito. And it was recorded at a place called the Record Plant, which is a really cool, it was like one of the first recording studios that were set up like almost like a living room instead of like, you know, like harsh, like fluorescent lights and tile and wood. It was, well, not wood, but, it was just set up cozy.
That's
the best way I could put it, but it was also very small. Which was the other
thing.
You
have to be if you're cozy.
Of course. So basically, it was almost like a living room made out of wood. It was a tiny room, and it had a couch that sat three plus one chair. Plus, you know, recording, like, booths and other separate rooms and stuff like that. What am I getting at? They, sorry guys, I didn't really sequence this that well.
So he has like seven pieces of loose leaf paper in front of him, and they're all kind of staggered. They have a lot of stars on them, no numbers.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm basically... Do you need a second, Alex? Because I just found an anecdote. You know that you needed one.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm in. I'm just saying this is almost like that like Charlie Day meme.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. I just need
F-A-W.
Yarn. Yeah, exactly.
There is no Carol in HR.
Carol! Carol!
Yeah, hook me up with a tangent because I'm going to figure out where I was going from where they were recording.
It's very interesting and appropriate because you mentioned Mick Fleetwood being married to a Jenny Boyd and then having her, I guess, at some point kind of go ahead and date his best friend. I had a feeling, and I was absolutely right, Jenny Boyd is the sister of Patty Boyd, who was originally married to George Harrison, then left him for Eric Clapton.
So, oh shit, those Boyd sisters!
Like pattern, right?
Oh my god.
So they just have all these people just loving them, and they're like totally good with it, sparing no feelings.
I mean,
I'm putting
babes,
my piece of red yarn from my mess that's in front of me, and I'm now scrawling the word Clapton on the wall connecting a piece of red yarn to Clapton. We're going to figure out a way that he is the ultimate piece of shit.
Oh, God, Eric Clapton. Fuck you, Clapton.
The album was recorded and produced by actually two producers, Ken Calliat, or Kylot? I'm going to say Calliat, and Richard Dashett. Mm-hmm. And they also, both of them did Rumors, Tusk, Mirage, and Tango in the Night. The band really put the band over all else at this point.
Oh,
even though they were heartbroken, they didn't want to be in a room with each other. Like, they were literally writing songs about breaking up with each other or hooking up with other people in front of each other. They put everything above it, for better or for worse. Like, at this point, Mick Fleetwood basically like lost his whole family. Like, he was disconnected from his child. He was obviously having very big problems with his wife. Stevie at this point decided that she wasn't going to have kids or be married at all, and just put it all into Fleetwood Mac. But they knew they had something with Rumors. It took about a year to record. There were more songs that were actually supposed to be on Rumors, but because of recording technology at the time being limited to 24 minutes a side of a vinyl record, they actually had to cut a few songs and cut a few songs back and make them a little shorter.
Yeah.
So right off the bat, we're just going to get right into the track list of Rumors. Like, we all know the story of Rumors for the most part. There's a shitload of cocaine happening.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of drinking happening. There's a ton of heartbreak. People are fighting. Basically, the boys are all living it's basically the studio owned a house just up the hill from the studio. So all three guys lived there. And then Christine and Stevie actually rented a condo, or actually two condos. They lived in the same building, close to each other. So apparently, the way I was reading a thing with Lindsey Buckingham, and he said that like it was just the boys' house was madness, like just absolute madness. It showed three interviews in a row of like Buckingham, Fleetwood, and McVie, and all three of them were just like, they must have said like it was just normal. It was just normal then, like, you know, just all of this drinking and excess. It was a different time. And like, they're like, can you tell any stories? And they're like, no, absolutely not. They're like, okay, cool. Exactly. Yeah. So the first song on Rumors is Secondhand News. It's a Buckingham track. It's inspired by like Scottish and Irish folk. And it's to mix it with pop.
Mm-hmm.
One really cool thing, if you can spin that track, Stacey, for a second.
Yeah.
One of the main percussion songs percussion sounds in this song is a chair.
Okay, cool.
You hear this like in the background. It's just Lindsey Buckingham rubbing his hand over a chair.
Oh, so he's credited as playing the chair then.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, actually.
Is he gonna play?
Oh, I don't know.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Oh, that's the chair?
No, that's the guitar. Hear that. It's like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You hear that?
It's almost plasticky sounding, right?
It's literally just him. it's a great song, though, except for that bam, 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 bam. I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't mind that, but...
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, different strokes for different folks. Decent track.
Mm-hmm.
Next song is Dreams, which is a Stevie Nicks song.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually written in a separate room, in the studio. It was actually written in Sly Stone's bed. Sly Stone had his own like suite. She wasn't with Sly Stone at this point, but basically to get away from just the madness of what was happening in the studio and the heartache and whatnot, Stevie would just like retire to Sly Stone's little getaway.
Oh, okay.
And just take her keyboard there and just write.
Yeah.
It was really neat because this whole song was written in an afternoon.
Yeah.
And she actually compares this to the sun being dreams and the moon being secondhand news.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
Yeah, she says, Lindsay had a wonderful way of taking songs and making them bigger when he was happy with me.
Oh, wow.
And she says that she always had a way of like writing that this song was kind of like her saying that they're going to be fine after breaking up.
Yeah.
And he wrote it almost as like, I'm not going to be fine after breaking up.
Right.
Which was really neat. Yeah. So, after that, we got Never Going Back Again, which is one of my favorite songs on this whole record.
Yeah. It's amazing. The guitar is just awesome. And I think that was like, hearing that song for me made me realize that there were so many more songs to really investigate beyond the typically Stevie-centric singles that are, you know, all over the radio and what everyone pretty much, you know, thinks of when they think of Fleetwood Mac. And I think that song in particular made me gravitate towards the Lindsay songs and the Christine songs. So it's, you know, like a nice little memento for me, because when I heard that one, I was like, ah, yes, little light bulb moment.
Yeah,
for sure. It's a great song. It was actually a song Lindsay Buckingham met a new woman at this point. He said that nothing really came of it, but it was almost like a, you know, like a slight moment of him getting like the wind back in his sails, being like, I'm gonna be fine. I'm not going back to feeling shitty. You know what I mean?
Next.
Exactly right. Because he's been down one time. And in this song, the guitar sound, it was several takes all put together. And they actually had to restring his guitar every 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Because the producer really, really liked the sound of like the brand new, bright, restrung strings.
Yeah.
So apparently it took a whole day to record and then he had to actually take time off after that because his hands were just shredded.
Bleeding? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Also, Lindsay Buckingham, famous for never using a pick.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Which
you is think how he's got those gross long fingernails?
He probably does. Yeah.
Just on one hand. Danzig has one of those for no reason.
It's not no reason. It's for cocaine.
I know. That's a young man's game. He shouldn't be doing that.
No. But I mean,
but if doesn't, if he stops doing it, his heart will stop.
Exactly. after Never Going Back Again, we're going into Don't Stop, which it's a McVee jam.
Don't stop thinking about tomorrow.
The biggest thing about this, that it, no matter what you look up about Don't Stop, is the fact that it was used as Bill Clinton's campaign song.
Yep.
Like, no matter what, you can't find anything else really on it except for that it was a shuffle.
Huh.
Yeah. That's like, but every time it's just like, and Bill Clinton used it.
I can't hear the song and not think of like Clinton Gore or whatever the hell campaign it was. It's you can't get away from it.
For sure. The only other thing that I was able to find is that you know, like the backup vocals are like, ooh, don't you look bad.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Apparently there was like 15 people singing gang vocal. Yeah,
oh,
they even
boy.
Like took in like just random people working at the studio.
Yeah. They're like, hey, you.
Exactly. After this, we have another Buckingham jam with Go Your Own Way, which is a pretty just biting song. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
There's really not too much that you can really...
I don't really feel like he's got a lot of nuance in the way that he writes lyrics, personally.
No, for sure. And also, earlier, I will cut this in, I was wrong with... Secondhand News. It was actually Go Your Own Way Stevie Nicks compared. So Stevie Nicks compared Go Your Own Way to being the moon to her son with dreams.
Yeah.
Basically, it was just saying that they both have ways of coming out of this breakup, either hopeful or not hopeful, Buckingham being very not hopeful, and Nick's trying to see some sort of a silver lining that was going to happen.
Right.
I don't like that song.
I don't like it either. It's like overplayed on classic rock radio, right?
So. Yeah, it just reminds me of like the Tilt-A-Whirl. You know what I mean? Like that's...
Oh, it's your carnival songs.
Yeah, it's the carny song. Carnival
songs. Carny before, songs, yeah. Man. It's like that. Shook You All Night Long.
Yeah, and so you're really just waiting for your April Wine song to come on.
Yeah,
April
or Wine, raise, yes. Raise a Little Hell.
Raise a Little Hell. Raise a Little Hell. Raise a Little Hell.
But nowadays you
I
go
know
to
that
the,
song now.
Nowadays you go to the carny and it's all just like, or the carny. Sorry, the carnival. And it was the carny in my hometown.
That's what you call the people that work at the carnival.
I know, yeah. Carnies, but we also called it the Carney. From the Carney.
Of course you did.
Of course we did, yeah. I talk great. Water.
Water.
So, yeah, but nowadays you go and it's just like, it's all just like really outdated Eminem.
Oh.
Like, you know, like you're about to get on like the Tilt-A-Whirl. It's like, I'm Slim Shady, yes, I do.
Oh, no.
And he's like, why are you doing this?
We're like playing yeah, Stan.
Yeah, right. Cool. Could you imagine going around like a Ferris wheel? It's like, please don't call me what you want.
Oh my God, no. I don't want that.
Yeah,
I'd much rather listen to Go Your Own Way.
Oh, 100%.
Not to vomit.
Than yeah, that, that's
Slim
a guarantee.
Shady.
Unless it's like the Stan version with Elton John. From the Grammys. Rockets too, that shit was fat. Anyways, I hope you get this, man. Hit me back to the chat. Truly yours, your biggest fan. This is Stan. But she's gone cold among the rocks. I got out of bed at all. The morning rain clapped up my window. Oh, I can't see it all. No.
Weird. I forgot that that happened.
Yeah, it sucked.
What, did he sing the Dido part?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like Eminem was being called out for being like homophobic. So he's like, I'll do a song with Elton John. It's like everything's like, fine.
I have a gay friend, see?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And like, doesn't Elton John kind of like curate like new and relevant celebrities to be his friends all the time? Like that's why he's friends with like Brandi Carlile and things like that.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah. I vaguely know who that is. And I know it very well. It's one of those that I told you long ago. Take my word, I'm a madman, don't you know?
She's, I guess she's more successful now than, like, she's basically hitting her stride now in terms of commercial success in the U.S., but she's been at it for ages. She's in some kind of super group as well called the High Woman. High Women? High Women. I think.
What?
Anyway,
it's too confusing for Grampy.
Yeah, that's fine. Sorry, Grampy.
Yeah, go to your happy place, Grampy.
I am. That is my happy place.
I love Elton John, though. I have to say.
Where are we at? We are at Songbird, which is probably one of my favorite songs on this whole record. It's
Christine
amazing.
Jam.
A fantastic McPhee song. Basically, everybody left the studio. And Christine McPhee started just like sitting down at the piano and playing Songbird.
Oh.
And the producers were just like, what is that? Like, that's incredible. What are you doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at that point, they basically just took her out of the studio and they rented the, oh my God, hold on, the Saddleback Auditorium in San Francisco.
Oh yeah, because it does sound live.
It's just her alone in an amphitheater.
Wow.
Yeah, and basically she just went there. They put a bottle of champagne on the piano,
uh-huh.
A dozen roses, and then she just sang it all day.
Oh my God.
Because they wouldn't let her splice it together. Not wouldn't let her, but it just didn't.
They
sound
wanted
right.
One live.
They wanted
one,
like a live
one
recording.
Take.
Yeah,
yeah. And. She said that it's a song for everybody. Mm-hmm. She compared it to a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they used to open their sets with Songbird.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes close the set with Songbird, depending on how they were feeling.
Yeah.
And every single one of them in several interviews said that it would usually bring them to tears.
Oh, yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. So it's a very heavy song for them and kind of a, I would say like a linchpin in this album for sure. Like it definitely breaks up the album, which is really nice.
Yeah.
After this, we're getting into The Chain.
Side two.
Yeah, side
Listen
two.
Listen to the wind blow.
Such a good song. My God.
You ever hear there's a Toronto band Bruce Peninsula that did a really good, like,
I have heard that
cover of The Chain.
Yeah,
it was like all of them singing.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Like The Chain is great.
Yeah.
That song actually started out as a Christine McVie song.
Oh, yeah.
But only from the bridge. So only from the part where John McVie's bass comes in.
Uh-huh.
You know, doom, doo 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 doo.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that was a Christine McVie song. I can't remember the name of it. I'm sorry. But after that, they started to work backwards through, it was a Stevie Nicks song that she was actually working on it, from the Buckingham and Nicks era. And then Buckingham kind of put a spin on that, and then they came together and made The Chain. So it's actually the only song on the whole record, on actually a couple of their records, as far as I know, that has all five of them as writers.
Right, that they all wrote it together.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Which is really neat. It's a it's a jam.
Fucking jam.
Yeah, it's I'm gonna say spin that track.
All right,
maybe can we hear From the Bridge, because it's,
we'll
such
see if I
a
can
jam.
Find it. Is it towards the end? Oh, here we go.
There
yeah
we go.
There you go.
I love his bass so much, like, yeah. It's such a good sound.
It's very clear.
Yeah,
like, there's not very many bands where you get the bass so prominent.
Yeah,
that are rock bands, you know.
See, we're getting into Tusk. Like, you can see the shades of Tusk happening right now.
Yeah.
And I think it's also, like, you know, the thing about, like, the band that works really well together is the fact that, like, you have Lindsay, who loves noodling.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But without that, like, bass, without that really solid bass, it would just be so fucking annoying.
Well, same with the drums, man.
Yeah, like where, like Mick Fleetwood could just be like a one man band and just be like, yeah, this is cool, just like fucking jazz drumming, who cares.
It was actually kind of sad. There's a really sad thing I was saying about how Mick Fleetwood said he was the glue of the band.
Oh no, don't give me something sad about Mick Fleetwood.
But Mick Fleetwood, basically, the reason he always wanted the band to come back together, he's like, guys, I'm just a drummer. He's like, without you guys, I don't even have music.
Oh
my goodness.
Yeah. So, like, and that's
now you're making me fall in love with Daddy.
I'm a big fan of Daddy.
I actually love the fact that all three vocalists really do shine in their own ways on this track.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
Even just like that little like running in the shadows.
Yeah.
That Lindsay repeats. It just, I feel that every player on this specific song just shines. Like it's just a great showcase for each member.
For sure.
They had to kick everybody out of the studio when he was recording that Running in the Shadows part, because he was like screaming at the top of his lungs. He didn't want to do it around anybody else at that point. So like, yeah, it was just him in a room alone just screaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really cool. After that we got You Make Love and Fun. Another McVie jam, which I, again, what a good song.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That bass, too. That bass is highly prominent in that song as well. Yeah.
It's great. This song was actually about Christine McVie's new boyfriend. So I can't even imagine. Like, I can't imagine being John McVie, seeing your ex-wife sing about her new boyfriend in front of you while having to also write the bass parts for that.
play some angry bass while your, you know, ex-wife is singing about a new flame.
I literally cannot imagine. Yeah. And just so that we can make this even more complicated, her new boyfriend was Fleetwood Mac's live lighting director.
Oh.
So, like, this was, like, a dude that they knew well. So, apparently, like, she was saying that, like they couldn't be in the same room at all.
Yeah.
Like, so she's like, I didn't get to see him much during this time because, you know, I was just always around Mick. So, like, for me, I'm just like, I can't imagine. Like, I cannot even fathom that at all.
Yeah.
Then we're getting into I Don't Want to Know, number 9, which is another Stevie Nicks jam.
Yep.
There's really not that much about this song, except for the only thing that I wrote about this song is actually the song that got cut from rumors that was completely finished, mixed, recorded, mastered, everything was called Silver Spring. Is a really, really, really good song, but it was just too long. They put in You Make Love and Fun, which I Don't Want to Know, which I really like. I think
it's a nice little ditty.
Yeah, she put it, the best way she put it was it's her and Lindsey Buckingham's Everly Brothers moment. Because they both sing it together and they're both kind of singing it in the same inflection. They're not like really doing too many harmonies on top of each other. Yeah. They're just singing it together.
They're doing the band thing where they're just like, well, we're singing it in our own registers and it'll sound like a harmony.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really neat. I like that song a lot. After this, we got Oh Daddy, which is my least favorite song on the album.
I don't like Oh Daddy.
To me, it's the low point of the album.
Yeah. Sorry, Christine.
It's kind of the only one that's not a hit for the most part,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
I mean, so many singles on this album. The majority of it is a single. Oh Daddy, it's just kind of in there.
Yeah.
No, it's not good. But the redeeming part is that it's about Mick Fleetwood.
Oh.
Yeah, they used to call him Daddy because he was always the person that found a way to make things work. So no matter how hard it was, he was willing to just kind of plow through it and just make it work.
And literally sacrifice everything in his life for this fucking band.
Yeah, well, the way the rest of the band put it is that like this band was his life.
Yeah.
Like this was his first love and everything else came second.
Yeah.
Which is heartbreaking in a way because he's a father and a husband, but at the same time, I mean,
true.
Yeah, it's so they called him Daddy. Yeah. They were his kids in a weird way. So and then after this, we have the closing track, which is my favorite track in the album, Gold Dust Woman.
It's your favorite track?
Yeah, I really like Gold Dust Woman.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really atmospheric. It's a good song. It's about, guess what it's about?
A witch.
A cocaine.
Cocaine, yeah. They called it White Dust Woman, right?
I know, right? I think that was probably a working title at some point.
Right.
Yeah, I really like Gold Dust Woman. I was actually introduced to it as a teenager from Hole.
Yeah.
Okay.
From the Crow City of Angels soundtrack. God. Hey, Stacy, spin that Hole track.
I don't have it queued up. What? I don't just have the Crow soundtrack open here.
I don't believe you.
Hold on.
Do you want to use my computer?
Gold Dust, a woman.
Waylon Jennings.
Oh, yeah, Waylon Jennings, no.
Oh, of course Hailstorm did a cover of
it. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, we got to go to See All here, Grampy.
Really?
Yeah, it's not on the top. Wow. Oh, wow, look at this. It's not anywhere near the top.
What?
Oh, my God.
My whole childhood.
Wow. Even Sheryl Crow comes up before Hole. This is embarrassing for you.
I'm going to mash them together. It's going to be called Sheryl Crow.
How am I going to find
it? Sheryl Crow.
What album was it on?
The Crow City of Angels soundtrack.
Oh, my God. So should I just put the Crow soundtrack?
No, because then you're going to get Liar by the Rollins Band.
City of Angels soundtrack.
Okay, wow.
Wait.
I'm so let down.
Gold Dust Woman. Hold on. I have to tell you something.
It's not on it.
It's on it, but it's by Done Again, and it is In the Style of Hole. It says Gold Dust Woman, parentheses, In the Style of Hole.
No, there was a video with Hole doing it.
No. But on this particular soundtrack, it's done by a band called Done Again, In the Style of Hole. I swear to God, that's
okay,
what
we
it
have
says.
To hear it now.
All right,
we now have to hear this.
It's one of those recreation tracks because they couldn't get the rights or what have you.
No, I hate this. I hate every second of it. No, turn this off. I will not have
it. You asked for it! Oh,
I will
Jesus
not have
Christ.
Done Again playing Gold Dust Woman.
Spotify does that every now and again, where, especially if it's, you know, like TV show theme songs or like certain soundtracks and stuff, there are certain songs that just will not appear on Spotify, and I wonder if this is one of them. Yeah.
I hate it. Well, I don't even like Spotify anymore. Fuck you, Spotify.
It was on an album.
No, because they played the podcast, so we love you. Thank you, Spotify.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Don't listen to Alex.
Give me money, and then I'll thank you. Put Hole on. I'm going to start Holeify.
Yeah, you might be right. They may not have gotten the rights for it.
I hate it.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyways, we don't need to talk about Hole anymore, I guess.
And the unreleased track was Silver Springs, which was basically a song by Stevie to Lindsay, which they were driving down the highway and they saw an off ramp going to Silver Springs, Maryland.
Sorry to interrupt you. Guess where I was born?
Silver Springs, Maryland.
Silver Spring, Maryland.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a hole.
That's kind of just where I've existed ever since. But no, it's actually, Silver Spring. There you go.
Cool, man. Well, should play that song very, very often. the album was massive. Like Rumors is one of the biggest albums of all time.
Yeah, man. Every teenage girl that discovers Lace and Velvet is suddenly in love with Rumors all over again.
It's true.
Dreamcatchers, Fog Machines, all of it.
Yeah. Yep. I remember one year for Christmas, since we're speaking about this thing. I think I was in first year. No. Might have been grade 12. I can't remember. So last year of high school. My parents got me this fog bowl for Christmas.
Okay.
Like you poured water into it and it had this light and just fog poured out of it. And I was I was like, Mom and Dad, why would I ever want this?
Like, don't you want to get high and look at your fog bowl?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Mom and Dad know how to party, I guess. Yeah. It was over your head.
Yeah, my brother got an electric guitar. And I got a fucking fog bowl.
They were just trying to get the band back together.
Maybe. Album was fucking massive. Just one of the biggest albums of all time, which, as we all know, is really, really, really hard to follow up.
Yeah. But they did it because I love Tusk.
Me too. So now we're going to start talking about Tusk, which is such a great album.
Yeah.
It's a double album.
Yeah.
It was the most expensive album of all time up to that point. And it's basically a Lindsey Buckingham joint.
Yeah.
He took the reins on Tusk big time. He was being influenced / he was kind of being afraid of being left in the dust by punk and new wave and post-punk. And he really got into some really lo-fi cool recording techniques, and he just didn't want to put out Rumors 2.
Yeah.
Honestly what he decided.
Yeah.
The rest of the band said, okay, we're going to follow you. We'll do this with you. And let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And what happened was just pure madness. I'm going to read a quote from our girl, Courtney Love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of all people.
I know her.
She said, "There's never been a period in rock more debauched as the period after Rumors. Nobody has ever even come close to touching that," which is Tusk.
Right.
And I basically summed it up with one quote from the song Tusk, which is, "Why don't you tell me what's going on? Why don't you tell me who's on the phone?" Which is just basically you just know that they're just, everybody's going through just a wild time of paranoia, excess, madness.
Yeah.
Right. And for Courtney Love to make that statement, when you think about the source.
Yeah, that's extreme.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
Of all people, right. Yeah.
So, at this point, bands like Led Zeppelin, Elton John, The Stones, Fleetwood Mac, were all seen as rock dinosaurs, because what was happening around everywhere else was new wave, punk, post-punk. You were kind of starting to get into the merging of electronic and rock, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Starting to get some more prog coming more into like the mainstream and like even like new wave stuff too.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. So bands like Fleetwood Mac and Zeppelin and all that, they were just seen as just old.
Like, we don't want your stolen music anymore, Led Zeppelin.
Exactly, exactly. But the thing is that like at this point, Fleetwood Mac were still really young, so they're just kind of like,
hi guys, we're 15.
Yeah, it's like hello fellow kids. So apparently when they started recording this, like Lindsay just went crazy. Like, he's just like, no, we need to just do the most crazy things ever. He went into the shower, cut off all his hair with nail clippers.
Oh god, I hate that.
Right?
I hate that.
Yeah, and then just
how
came
long
up
was he in there for? He's got that lush curly hair that
very
won't quit.
Hair.
Exactly. Yeah. And he came out with very short hair and started wearing suits at this point. Like, you could tell he was like pretty influenced by the Talking Heads.
Okay.
Yeah.
This album was huge. They had infinite budget. They could do whatever they wanted because Rumours just did so well. So what they did, they decided to record or build their own recording studio.
Oh my god.
And they built it in an old Masonic temple and meditation headquarters. So this is right off the bat where we're starting out.
Uh-huh.
Because they said, well, if we just build our own studio, then we're not on the clock. But they were definitely on the clock because...
What does that mean?
I don't know. This is what happens when you throw infinite money at...
Or when you do too much...
Young people.
Yeah, who do too many drugs.
Yeah. All the drugs. And then it got way off the rails after all this. They were like spending just the dumbest amount of money on shit like shrunken heads. They actually filled the recording console with tusks. They were velvet pillows. Like, it was at the point when it was like... absurdity.
Yeah.
Christine McVie at this point said that most bands could have recorded a whole album on what they spent on champagne in one night.
Oh my god.
Everything that they did had to be the best of everything. If they were eating, it had to be like, you know, like flown in exotic food.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They were like being if they would like come in from on their private plane and have to be escorted in by 14 black limousines.
Oh my god. So most of the, like, a good majority of the climate crisis we're currently in is contributed entirely to Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, yeah. And which is, we've learned, is we'll all go back to Eric Clapton somehow.
Oh, I knew it!
I hate him. The other crazy thing that happened at this point is that actually Lindsey Buckingham had his home bathroom rebuilt inside their studio.
No.
Because he wanted that perfect reverb, and in his words, 1927 bathrooms, man, they just know how to rock.
Oh my
all
god,
the way.
No. I hate these people so much.
Yep. It's wonder, mostly Lindsey Buckingham.
Yeah
You have to wonder, gee, I wonder if anyone's gonna go bankrupt over this.
Right.
TBD.
So Lindsey Buckingham was basically, there's a really neat quote that comes from the performing arts that says, for like when you're putting too much exposition on something or putting like overacting, do you know what it would be?
Unga pachka?
No, I don't know that.
Oh, it's like when you have too many things, I guess.
What I found was, that's a hat on a hat.
Oh, a hat on a hat. Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
So Lindsey Buckingham's songs in this album were several hats on a hat.
Got it.
Like about 20 hats on hats.
Exactly. Just a stack of hats. A real Babadook situation.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. Babadook. Absolutely not. I can't. That is so scary.
You're
going to
get Skinner nightmares. Oh, my God.
You mean gay icon, the Babadook?
Babadook's gay?
I don't know. He apparently, Babadook is like a gay icon. Like, you see him at like pride parades. It's like, you know, your regular pride parade, whatever's happening. Then all of a sudden it's just like signs of like the Babadook or like people dressed up as the Babadook.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you type in like Babadook gay icon, it definitely comes up.
Doing that right now.
Yeah, of course. what was I getting at? Lindsey Buckingham was doing a whole bunch of dumb shit. Like, he was like taping mics to the bathroom, quote unquote bathroom, new bathroom floor, recording vocals from a push-up position.
Oh boy.
So that he would strain his what's that?
Sternum?
Sternum or diaphragm. Diaphragm. Oh, that's the one I'm going
that's
for.
That's not where your diaphragm is.
Where's my diaphragm?
It's down here.
Oh, strained in his shit. They were like banging on junk like old trash cans. They cool. were like taking in lamb chops into the studio and just slapping them.
Like lamb chops, play along.
No, we're not doing that. No, ever. Ever, we're not doing that.
As long as it's not the song at the end.
Just stop it. Stop it. Stop everybody.
We're all thinking it. Come on.
We can talk about Charlie Horse, but we're not talking about anything else.
I love lamb chops.
What was her name? Sherry? Sherry what?
Sherry Lewis.
Sherry Lewis.
So yeah. cute.
Yeah, rest in peace, Sherry God. Lewis.
R.I.P. Sherry Lewis.
Mick Fleetwood said this is kind of a period where they were all kind of like really scared about what was going to happen next
because they were spending too much money.
Well, no, they were all under a ton of pressure. Like, Mick Fleetwood said, how do you follow up, let alone top the best work you've ever done in your life, work that almost killed you to complete,
right?
You know what I mean? So they were all really worried about it, some people doing more than others to you know, kind of run around like chickens with their heads cut off to just see what the hell was going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This album's also been described as the ultimate cocaine album.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
One, because they were doing an insane amount of cocaine.
Sure.
And two, because the album actually just, there's such big, huge highs on it and such low lows on it. You know what I mean? And a lot of that, one of the reasons that this was beat up so much by the critics is because, like, this album flows terribly.
Yeah, it doesn't have a good, like, there's, it's a four side, right? It's
yeah.
It's a double album. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to it as a record.
It's horrible.
It's really weird. Because you're just, like, for the most part, it's like you have one song on every side that you're like, this should just not exist.
Yeah.
And it's never at the end or the beginning. It's always in the middle.
Yeah, right in the middle. Yeah. Every single time. They were doing a bunch of whole other dumb shit. When they played live on the Tusk tour, there were two black tents on either side of the stage. One tent was just for Stevie Nicks wardrobe changes.
Uh-huh. And the other one was a snortatorium.
Hell yeah, it was. The other one was like, just for cocaine.
The phone booth, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like the snortatorium.
The snortatorium.
So yeah, this is basically just three solo artists writing
apart
from each other.
Oh my God, calm the fuck down out there.
Old lady Stacy's here.
I hate people in their farty cars.
I think that was a motorcycle.
I hate people in their farty motorcycles.
Yeah, I don't like it either. You can still hear it.
Yeah, you can still hear it.
Listen. They're so far away, too. Hold on. They're coming back.
He's coming back. He's going to fight me.
Yeah, he heard you. It's probably Maddie, that dreamy Maddie on his motorcycle.
Does he have a motorcycle, Skinner?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
He has a Hyundai Tucson.
Oh,
ooh, my favorite car. Hold on. Yeah, so I'm going to get into the track list of this album. We'll only play a few songs because this album has 20 songs on it.
Yeah, it does.
It starts out with a McVee jam. It's called Over and Over, which I best described as just a real cool laid-back AM radio jam.
It's a beautiful song.
It's a great song.
Weird They're... song to start the album with, but it's a beautiful song.
Very strange song to start the album with. Yeah. I think we're going to have to play The Ledge by Buckingham, because this is kind of this number two song. It's like a distorted, tuned down guitar. I think the drums are on a garbage can.
Yeah, probably.
I think.
Yeah.
The vocals are, I just described as whack.
Yep.
And super high.
Yeah.
And then there's like a bunch of off time gang vocals at the end. I like this song.
It's
but
a
it's
good song.
Weird.
It's super weird.
Okay. And especially for a Fleetwood Mac song. Like, if you played this to somebody that didn't know Tusk, they'd just be like, what the fuck is this? Like,
yeah.
That's so tuned down.
Yeah. It's super lo-fi too, right?
Crazy lo-fi. But I like it.
This is one of my faves.
This right here? Can you skip to the end?
Yeah.
Like the last like 15 seconds? Like that type of shit, which is Fleetwood Mac. Like, it's just like you wouldn't even think of that being Fleetwood Mac.
It definitely sounds like it's got like a punk song vibe.
Exactly.
Too.
Yeah. It's almost like a, Jesus, almost like a Hazel Atkins song or something.
You know what the end actually really reminds me of? It reminds me of that, do you know the Kathleen Hanna album, the Julie Roone album?
No.
Oh my God. That's a good album. Yeah. You know
I
that
just
one, right?
I realized what you're talking about. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Julie Roone. Haven't thought about that band in a million years.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's Kathleen Hanna with just a Casio keyboard.
Yes, now I know. Yeah. I didn't hear Kathleen Hanna. I heard a Kathleen Hanna.
Oh.
And I'm like, what? Okay, yeah, now I know exactly what you're talking about.
I love that.
Yeah, I could see that. Next song is Think About Me, another McVie song. One of the best songs on the album. I really like it. It's just a classic. Again, this I said that Over and Over is an AM sound, and Think About Me is an FM sound.
Oh, yeah.
From McVie. Yeah. But her and Buckingham singing together in this song is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's real nice.
To me, it's one of the best examples of their vocals going perfectly together.
Yeah.
Up next, I think we got to spin this one, too. The next
Save
one,
Me a
Save Me a Place by Buckingham. It's just, again, it's you can just see him trying it out.
Yeah.
It's a very sparse song.
Oh, sorry.
It's all good, man. It starts right away.
Yeah. The mandolin in this, I like too.
We gotta hear this chorus. It's a pretty cool chorus. I like it. You know, it's like them just kind of, like it, they're not doing their usual harmonies that they're doing. You know what I mean? It seems a lot more warm, and it seems like it reminds me of just them playing in a living room.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Which is
There's
neat.
Almost a, like a mysterious male part to that harmony that I didn't recognize too. Like
that's
really deeper one.
Yeah. I'm not sure who that was.
Is it Daddy?
It could be.
I was wondering.
It probably is.
It probably is, yeah.
Yeah, I think they were all singing at that point.
Yeah.
The next song, which is the last song on side one, is Sarah by Nyx, which is another just great song,
I think.
This is the song we were talking about earlier. Or no, not earlier.
There's no earlier. Time
we
is meaningless.
We talk about it in the future.
Yeah, in the future. So this song was inspired by an unborn child that Stevie Nicks had with Don Henley from the Eagles. So she said if they ever went ahead and had a baby and got married, that she would have named the baby Sarah.
Yeah.
The other neat thing about this song, which I think we are going to have to play a little clip of it, is that they actually went with, on the album, they went with Stevie Nicks' original home demo recording. And it was just her and a piano, but she didn't use a metronome or a click track.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not way off time, but pretty off time.
Yeah.
Which is why Fleetwood has to actually play brushes on this track, because there's a lot of times if you're paying attention, he'll go off time and kind of like scrape the brush across the drum to keep in time. It's really neat. Apparently it was a really big long day for them was him recording these drums.
Yeah.
And then from there, the rest of the band was able to keep on time.
Right.
Okay. Like, I mean, she's a musician, so I mean, she's staying mostly on time, but without a click track, it's very hard. Maybe skip for a sec to the drums. It doesn't matter what for when you build your house, then call me home. You can hear there, we had to kind of.
It's like rubato almost. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's neat though. It just shows the musicianship of the band to be able to fix not mistakes but fix things like that. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Which is really neat.
And I like the description of like the background of Sarah. It's interesting because Sarah spelled that same way is actually on a title of a song from the Tango in the Night record. So it actually comes up again. So there's a song called Welcome to the Room ... Sarah, which tells the story basically of Stevie Nicks's original stay at the Betty Ford Clinic. Cocaine addiction in 1986, and it stated that she used the name Sarah Anderson to check herself in. So I guess that Sarah name has a big meaning for her. So to have it, you know, featured in two very different ways, in two very different contexts and songs, clearly that was like a big deal for her. So.
Oh wow! Okay, cool. Yeah. We're gonna get into side two now. Which is, it starts out with What Makes You Think You're the One by Buckingham. I just wrote, again, these drums are brutal, but they work. Mm-hmm. It's great. Lindsey's vocals are very, very, very strange in this album. Yeah. Or this song. They're like, he's straining them. They're very up. They're very down. There's a lot of backwards guitar. You can tell he's just kind of fucking around. The next is Storms by Stevie Nicks, which, again, just a awesome song.
Love it.
Really spooky, just like classic Nicks jam.
Yeah.
It really reminds me of like some of her later era solo material, I find.
Yeah, a little bit. Like more pared down though.
Exactly. It's just sparse and it's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
On to track three on side two, That's All for Everyone, a Buckingham song. Probably one of my favorite songs in this whole record.
It's the best song.
Yeah, this is your favorite song on the record?
I love this song. I just think it's such a cool song.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. The vocals by everybody are super interesting in this.
Mm-hmm.
I would think I picked out a kalimba in this song. I'm pretty sure like they were doing stuff like that as well, just ordering like just any instrument that
they
could hear up.
What's the most expensive instrument I can buy?
Exactly. Or like, what's the most rare instrument I can get? Like, I want to play a turtle shell. You know what I mean? Like, just
castanets be damned.
Exactly.
Need something more.
Exactly. And then that song by Buckingham goes into another Buckingham song called Not That Bunny, which I don't like.
Which is trash.
Yeah. This is one of the only songs on the whole record that I actually just don't like.
It's actually like this is the bane of my existence with this particular record when you listen to it on vinyl, is that like you're like, oh yeah, I'm starting the second side. I've got this like beautiful, like it starts off with What Makes You Think You're the One on the second side.
Yeah.
And you go to Storms and you're like, yeah, digging it into it. That's All for Everyone. You're like, yes, yes. And then you have to run to the record player to skip Not That Funny. Otherwise it will ruin your entire day potentially your entire life.
Exactly. But what you do get to skip to is Sisters of the Moon,
yeah,
which is my favorite track on the record.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, mostly because I watched the Tusk documentary from 1982, and that song live is incredible.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
It's so good, and it doesn't sound like Fleetwood Mac at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's really neat. Somebody described Stevie Nicks as sounding like Patti Smith in a wind tunnel in this song.
That sounds like fun, though. I like that. I want to do that.
Yeah,
put
man.
Patti Smith in a wind tunnel.
Patti, where are you?
I
horses. Horses.
I really like that song. I like the guitars in it. It's great.
Yeah.
Now we're getting into side three. The first song is Angel by Stevie Nicks.
Yeah.
Great song. Yeah. I said it sounds like somebody put nitrous into a Rumors track.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, yeah, I can see it.
I like it.
They probably did that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. After that, we're going into another Buckingham track. That's Enough for Me.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty weird song.
And we're getting to this point, too, where we're like, Lindsay, you've run out of things. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's like, your songs are literally about nothing.
Yeah. But this is almost like a rockabilly track almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's banjo.
Oh, Stacey's favorite.
Yeah, my exactly. favorite. Oh my gosh. You guys want to go see Reverend Horton Heat with me?
Again, I like the Cramps. yeah, he's like screaming in this. It's okay, I guess. Brown Eyes is the next song, McVee Jam.
Yeah.
The drums in this are fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah, for
They're
sure.
They're insane. Yeah. It's a very strange, atmospheric song.
Yeah.
One thing that's cool about this is that Peter Green plays
Green
guitar.
Oh, damn!
He played guitar over the whole thing, but they only used it in the outro.
Return of the night.
Return of the green. and in the deluxe edition, you can actually hear his original guitar, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Buckingham didn't just, delete those tracks.
Apparently,
weren't up to snuff for him.
Apparently, he was very dismissive of him the whole time.
I bet.
Yeah, they jammed together a little bit. But then after that, he was just kind of like left alone and put his stuff in. And then a lot of it got deleted and some of it got kept. we're going into another McVee Jam with Never Make Me Cry. I don't like this song.
No, I don't really like this one either.
Yep. This is, I just said it's too slow tempo.
Yeah.
It's just kind of boring.
Yeah.
She's singing it wonderfully.
Yeah. She's a beautiful voice. But yeah, it's not a great song.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I find that like she's almost it's almost like they're trying to recreate Songbird. But just badly.
Yeah.
So I'm not into it.
Yeah.
I Know I'm Not Wrong is the next song by Buckingham.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird song.
I like it, though.
It's not bad, but it's also not good, in my opinion.
It's the last one on that side, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like an okay ending song. With
For sure.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told you I can sing the entirety of this album.
Oh, I believe you. Maybe sing a little bit of side four opener, Honey High.
Okay. Honey, honey, honey high.
Another McVee Jam. It's okay.
I like that one. I think it's cute.
It's got cool instrumentation for sure. Yeah. It's very choral.
Yeah, Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of, like, yeah. just, like, a lot of, like, the vocal arrangements.
Yeah.
The vocal arrangement of that song is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. After that, we're going into Beautiful Child by Stevie Nicks, which mm-hmm. I think is a gorgeous Stevie Nicks song. Just a really good ballad.
Yeah.
The guitar works really cool. Like, it's got that kind of, like palm muting and, the word I'm looking for. Nope, doesn't matter. not pinch harmonics. Harmonics, just regular harmonics.
Oh my god, we need Bill Skinner up in here.
No, we do. Bill.
I'll have him analyze
Bill,
the track
Bill.
If you'd like.
Yeah.
No, I don't care that much. Okay. Don't bug Bill for this. Bill's out saving lives through guitar.
Bill Skinner, the guitar guy.
Walk a Thin Line is the next song, another Buckingham Jam. This is a really emotional and raw and vulnerable track, I find.
I love this song.
It's a really good song.
I love the, like, the sustained note in it, you know, when he's like, well, let's play here.
Yeah,
typical Buckingham tempo too, right?
For sure. Those backups are weird.
I love it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. It actually, there's a Bollywood song that I like that's like that.
What is it? Spin that track.
Oh my god, I can't remember what it's called because it's not in English.
Not a clue, man.
If I can find it again.
We'll put it in if you can find it.
It's really good. The video is like people wearing animal costumes and going, ooh-wah, 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 ooh-wah. You're going to like it.
After Walk a Thin Line, we're getting into the title track of Tusk, the second last song. I don't like the album version of Tusk, but live, Tusk is awesome.
Don't say it.
And then they're just all screaming Tusk. But live it's really cool. Like Christine McVie plays an accordion. Stevie's got her woodblock. It's really cool. It was recorded in a stadium. With the I think it's the USC marching band. It's a cool track. Yeah. They definitely shouldn't have made it the lead single.
Yeah, it's an odd single. It definitely doesn't hold up as single material, you know?
But I like the dun, 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 or whatever, you know. That's the Muppet theme.
Yeah,
it is the Muppet
theme. And then to end off is the song Never Forget. It's another Make V Jam. And what's the word I'm looking for? It's just forgettable. It's just a forgettable track.
This is the thing. The last song in the album that's called Never Forget, I always forget it.
Yeah, it's wildly forgettable.
Like, I could sing every other song in this album. I cannot conjure this. Like, I look at the title and I'm like, I don't remember it.
Yeah.
I thought this ended on Tusk.
Yeah, and I don't like it at all. Yeah. And it's just boring.
Yeah.
I
know, it's like, it's such a shame too, because it's like, you have like it's just a problem with editing, you know, with this album in general, right?
Yep.
Because I would take out, I mean, I guess it doesn't make sense for the format at the time, but I would take out like five full songs off this album and just be like, those are trash.
Yep.
And then rearrange the entire thing.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Yeah. But, you know. I think if it was CD technology, this could have been one of their weirdest and best albums, which it still is. But I mean,
it would definitely have a secret track on it.
Oh, 100 was probably Tusk. This album was, for the most part, a flop.
Yeah.
But not, like, it sold 4 million copies.
I mean, that's not a flop in comparison to a lot of other bands that we've covered, you know?
Of course. But the problem is that it wasn't Rumors.
Yeah.
Is really all it comes down to.
Yeah. But I think, like, you know, comparatively now, too, because I almost think that, like, because Fleetwood Mac have this kind of, like, sustained popularity, and especially in these two albums, that I feel like over time there's got to be like a comparison in terms of like how Tusk has caught up to Rumors in some way.
Yeah, I wonder. That's something we could look into, but I don't know. Like Tusk is, as far as like critical acclaim now, it's very high.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's probably like in most people's, not most people, but in like super fans' opinions, it's probably either Rumors or Tusk. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I really like it. But that being said, like there's like 4 songs on it I don't like at all.
Yeah, there's 4 songs that make me want to murder. just if I'm near a person and a knife, I'm not going to be able to tell you what might happen.
But like with Rumors, there's 1, maybe 2 that I don't want to hear.
Yeah, and they don't deeply offend my soul. I just don't really like them. Whereas if It's Not That Funny comes on, it's just Rage City. I'll black out. I just can't fathom a world where someone has written this song, taken the time to record it, put it on an album in the middle of a side, and think that that's okay. That's acceptable human
behavior.
Okay.
It's not okay. I hate
Buckingham, it's not okay.
Lindsay. At this point, I'm going to interject completely off track and tell everybody that they need to go watch What's Up With That? The
What's
SNL.
What's up with that?
What's up with that?
If only for Bill Hader's Lindsay Buckingham. There's actually an episode where the real Lindsay Buckingham comes on.
Yeah, there's 2 Lindsays.
Yeah. And it's great.
It also has Paul Simon on it, which I appreciate.
Yeah, it's great. I love What's Up With That so much. Especially, what was my favorite one? Sexy Grinch.
Oh, I like Sexy Banjo Man.
Sexy Banjo Man's great. Yeah. And who's the... Oh my God, what's his name? He's just in the red tracksuit.
Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah,
Jason
Sudeikis. Yeah, he's got like the big like chain on and the red Adidas tracksuit with the shell tops, and he's just basically doing the Running Man with a giant grin on his face the entire time, and that's it.
I love it. What's Up With That is one of, I'm going to say top 5 SNL skits for me.
It does. I wondered too, though, when I was watching it, because I felt like it was kind of like a nod in some ways to that bonkers James Brown show.
No, it's a real show. What's Up With That?
Oh, is it?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was very well, you know, it's a way over the top parody, but What's Up With That was real.
That's hilarious.
That part I didn't know either.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It might not have been called What's Up With That, but like it's easy to find. Just be like what's up with that based on in the Google
machine. Yeah.
It's good. Other than that, we'll be back for part 3 of Fleetwood Mac. It's late.
It's way past my bedtime.
It's super past my bedtime. It's dark outside.
I'm scared.
Rampy.
I know, right?
It's your bedtime.
I got to get up for Coronation Street. It's going to be crazy. All right, cool. Well, we'll talk to you soon, Skinner, and we'll talk to everybody else soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.